This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Buckets. All right, me and Billy back at it again. We're trying to answer as many questions as humanly possible, starting now.
You're getting buckets.
And go. Hurry.
We lightning round. Lightning and thunder round. We got a lot of questions from the Twitter sphere, I'll say. More than I thought.
Yeah, they really span the gamut between the most inane questions you could think of and some really thoughtful basketball questions. So I'm curious which ones you went with.
Yeah, it's like, what made the Pistons like that in 2003? And then also, what other color can a basketball be?
That was on one end of the spectrum as well. What other color, if you could choose? So maybe we even start with that one, Amir. Let's leave room to grow for a real basketball conversation. If you could improve the color of a basketball, what color would it be?
Yeah. Do you remember who asked that one? I can't find it now that I'm looking. I kind of love the ABA ball, the red, white, and blue, because you can see the rotation. The one bad thing about a solid colored ball is that you can't see the rotation of the ball.
Yeah, that like pinwheel effect where it just spins and it turns into one kind of monochromatic color. It's great.
Mm-hmm. I also don't hate the Mountain Dew green at the three-point contest. Yeah,
okay.
I don't hate that one. Yeah, do the Dew.
That's where I think we differ. I'm not a big fan of the color Mountain Dew.
Interesting.
Like, I know Mountain Dew is a soda, but it's also a pretty distinct neon color, kind of like that Simpsons neon radiation Mountain Dew color.
Yeah, the inanimate carbon rod is also that color.
Right. So it's ironic that I say the color I would change it to is something close to that, as a matter of fact.
Really?
I think the NBA should try and employ a Tron night where everything glows in the dark. The edges of everyone's uniform, they have to play in the dark. The ball glows in the dark. The shoes glow in the dark as an experiment.
That's cool. And then to get into the arena, you have to actually pay with the cryptocurrency Tron, TRX.
That's right. Yeah, and the lights are out in the halls, so you're just bumping into one another. It's terrible for the COVID environment that we live in, but it might be fun for marketing.
That seems like a night in the, what is it, like the Audience Football League or like the Fan Football League, where like Johnny Manziel is in there like doing whatever the fans want or something.
Yeah, just a lawless league in the dark. Everyone Slam ball. Wins and loses. Yeah.
All right, that's pretty good. That was a good one to get us started. Do you have another favorite or two to kick us off here? We should say we asked our Twitter followers for any basketball-related questions. That's why we got such a wide gamut.
Yeah, I did find a couple that I thought were actually pretty fun to explore. There was one. Let me try and find it. Here it is. It's from BenPatrick60. He asks,
okay,
could you and Billy select a starting lineup comprised of the best sixth men? So non-starters, if we could comprise a starting lineup of non-starters, essentially.
Wow. I mean, that's a non-starter for me.
Mm. Yeah, we could end the podcast there. Joke. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat that joke.
Okay, sixth man. I mean, right off the bat, I'll draft Trez, who's the reigning sixth man of the year. Still comes off the bench for the Lakers. Seems to dominate when he plays in extended minutes. I don't mind him as like a power forward on this team.
So if we're going to take the center from your team, can we take the point guard from mine and put Derrick Rose as our point guard? Is he the best backup point guard out right now?
Over Quickly. I kind of like Quickly. You want to get some fresh legs in there.
Okay, cool. So we'll put Quickly as our starting point guard, Trez as our starting center.
Yeah.
Going to need a two. Yeah. Who's like I feel like the Hawks are full of twos. They have Lou Will. Now,
yeah, does Bog come off the bench? Bogdan Bogdanovic?
I think so. I think he's taking Huerta's minutes right now. They also have Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter. It's like, I don't know if they have any starters. They only start John Collins, Capella, and Trey.
And then they have 9 sixth men. Okay.
Right.
It's tough to track, remember who starts and who doesn't.
I got one for you.
Lou Will?
Yeah, I think it's like a Lou Will. Man. Maybe it's a Tyler Hero.
If Hero doesn't start, I like him. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Hero's our small forward.
Yeah, the Heat don't start Robinson and Hero, do they?
No, they start Robinson.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, let's go Lou Will at the two, IQ at the one,
Hero at the three,
available at the three, and Trez at the four. Best backup center in the NBA. Wow, that's a good question. Last remaining hole. Dwight?
Tough. Is he? It was like Mo Brown up until Horford decided to stop playing and now made him kind of the center du jour.
You
want to put Dwight as our center?
Yeah, not very good spacing with maybe. Is there like a stretch five? Because Trez and Dwight might be clogging the paint a little too much.
Brook Lopez is starting. Maybe it's Robin Lopez, one of the Washington centers, perhaps.
Yeah, I think Robin Lopez starts too. Shit.
God, we're down to Alex Len. Where nobody wants to find themselves. We have to take Alex Len.
Who's a stretch five? Oh, what about I'm trying to imagine like Shadows pick and popping. Yeah, is he a five or is he more of a four? I guess he could play five. Gorgie Jang, who comes off the bench and hits threes and is 7 feet tall?
I could rock with Gorgie. I could rock with Gorgie. The $16 million man. That dude is getting paid right now.
Gorgie. Okay, right. So IQ, Lou Will, Hero, Trez, and Gorgie.
The team's winning. How many games is that team winning in an 82-game season?
30? I mean, they're better than some teams.
Shit.
Yeah.
The Knicks haven't seen 30 in decades.
Well, yeah, they got one of the players, so.
All right, not bad. Staying on the Knicks for a second, Zane Zicklin asked, Knicks, pretenders or contenders to get eliminated in the second round? Amir?
Get eliminated in the second. That's like contenders or pretenders is one question, and then it's like, let's just put them in the second round. Like, I think they're up. They're what their record is. They're a 500 team, so they'll make it to the playoffs and they'll lose to a good team in the first round. I don't see them beating Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Milwaukee,
now
Miami.
In all of our text chains, you always remind us that when the playoffs occur, the ball slows down. It's a defensive game. The Knicks have been playing that way for about 50 games now. I mean, like, we're well seasoned in it. Like, if the scores are going to come down, are the Knicks potentially like the most prepared to play that style of ball going into the playoffs?
I do think that helps them because they already do play these 98 to 88 games where it's like, The game is so slow, and like 20 years ago, they don't hit that many threes. They don't run. They don't get out there. So I think I think they'll win a game or two in the first round. That's what I'm saying.
My biggest fear is that the Knicks are really good with this, like really good for the Knicks at this roster, but like one injury away. Like it wasn't Mitch Rob, but like if Randall misses six games, we don't have the real estate to make up those six games. Like we have to play great for the next 25 in order to hold. So thin ice, but I think we make the playoffs.
Although they did just win without Randall because Milwaukee rested all their players against the Knicks.
And when
that was a little suspect.
Yeah, people tend to inflate when they say all of their players. Milwaukee actually, like the Buck mascot started at center. Like they were down to like, human resources was their point guard.
And Chris Middleton, they're all hurt this one game, and now they're all back for the next with not even being on the injury report. What's going on there, Milwaukee?
So I think what actually happened was that was their third game in four nights, and they were just like, screw you. Screw you, NBA. Like, you don't get
the
product
tonight. This game. That's right. And then it's like, let's rest up for the Clipper game on Monday. And then they lost to the Clippers by 30.
And I mean, they took the Knicks down to like the final 2 minutes. Like, so that's also like a red flag.
That was a preseason game. According to the box score that I saw.
Yeah. So odds are the Knicks get eliminated in seven games in the second round.
Like a real pretender. Lou Magic says, I'm a huge Magic fan. This season has been crushing. The Magic have had a few appearances in the conference finals and finals. They mostly have good teams. Why no respect? Rarely in the conversation, even when they're doing well. Why don't people respect the Magic?
That's the curse of the seven seed. That's the curse. We talked about it last episode. It's like when you are between the six and 10 seeds in the East, it's like you're too bad to be good and too good to be bad. Like, you have no identity and you're going to be treated that way.
But then, so they traded three of their best players for youngsters and picks, and now they, every time they win a game, I remember this feeling when I was a Laker fan in 2015. Every time you win a game, it's like, it feels like, what an exciting moment. And they just beat the Clippers. The bench was going crazy. I'm like, this is probably more fun than like going 40 and 42 and then getting swept by Milwaukee.
Definitely. I mean, having expectations like going 42 and 42 will kill you over time. Having no expectations will provide rare opportunities for celebration. You know,
yeah.
They were numbed down to, we're kind of good, we're kind of good. Maybe Aaron Gordon finally breaks through. But I think we saw what every one of those players was on that team. They needed to blow it up, and they're going to be really bad for 2 years. That's just what it
is. Yeah. They'll get some exciting young players. They'll get Cole Anthony back. They'll get some FanDuel All-Stars that will emerge, like Okeke.
Yo, love Okeke. We love Okeke. Okay.
Yeah.
Their guards. One thing is that's weird about them right now. Their guards are like all of the maybe guys who have been floating around for the past 3 years. They have Cole Anthony, who is a maybe guard coming out of this draft. They have RJ Hampton, who is a maybe point guard coming out of this draft. They have Cole Anthony. They have Markelle Fultz, who's been maybe his entire career. And then they also have Michael Carter-Williams, who came out with huge expectations. There's depth at point guard on that team. Yeah. Five of their players are point guards.
And Michael Carter-Williams looks like he's been floating around for 3 years. Like, he looks like weathered and like tough. He's seen some shit.
Tough. He is the epitome of a $4,800 point guard on FanDuel. Like, exactly like you said, he's seen some shit. He's back from Vietnam. And it's like, yes, he could still do it. But do you really want to test him?
Actually, Ryan asked us who are our favorites to be FanDuel All-Stars this year. So why don't we segue into specifically FanDuel All-Stars, players that we sort of were like punching lines or punch lines 2 months ago, but are now like, oh, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah. It has to be noted that Ryan, the dude who asked this question, has the most like, are you sure you're not a bot internet name? Because it's not just Ryan. It's Ryan 306-492-74. So shout out all of those numbers you went with, Ryan.
He's a Trump bot, but also in his spare time, we'll ask question bot for buckets. So I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it. We'll take anybody or botty. FanDuel All-Stars. So that's usually like a 4,500 or less type guy who keeps crawling up. Yeah.
A guy that's like Kevin Martin. No, I keep forgetting. Kevin Porter Jr. on the Rockets like 2 weeks ago when Oladipo and John Wall was out. This kid just came out and like balled out like for 27, 8, and 5. You're like, holy shit, this guy's awesome.
I've had my eye on Jay Crowder ever since he was a $3,900 power forward. He is now a $5,100 power forward. It took like 4 months to become $1,200 more expensive, but that's exactly what makes you a FanDuel All-Star. Those dudes you can just plug in.
That's right. Marcus Morris was like stuck at $3,900 even though he was starting for the Clippers and like leading them in scoring. And then I'm like, this is like the best kept secret in FanDuel. Mm-hmm. But eventually they update their prices and they start to make it not worth starting him at like $5,400.
Yep. Dante DiVincenzo is always getting a nod.
Great value.
He's like steady 5,000. Marcus Smart as well. Like just steady 500. These are my kind of players.
Yeah, Moses Brown, another guy I started when he like just got into the lineup. And what did he have? Like he had a 2020 game almost.
He had 17 and 19 in the first half.
That's insane.
Out of Queens, New York. Shout out Queens, New York, by the way. Mo Brown out of Queens, New York, 17 and 19. The day that Horford's like, I'm going to sit out the rest of the season, Mo Brown said, I'm not.
That's cool.
And he signed a 3-year contract. Yeah, and then he signed a 3-year contract right after that.
It's kind of like what Christian Wood was last year, where it's like, who is this guy? Right. Why is he averaging 20 and 10? And then, he becomes a pretty solid center in the NBA. Anybody else?
Speaking of Christian Wood, AB, real quick on the Christian Wood Houston Rockets front. I don't think we properly touched upon how little the Rockets actually got when all of the trades have settled. I know every basketball podcast is talking about this, but it's pretty spectacular that they just like got rid of LeVert. They basically traded Harden for Olynyk.
That's
what it feels like.
They traded Harden and Westbrook for pieces, then traded those pieces for worse pieces, and then traded those worse pieces for draft picks and Kelly Olynyk. And it's like, wait a minute. Should we just have done nothing? What's going on here?
Yeah. You could have had
Harden. Really have gotten Ben Simmons?
LeVert. You could have had so many Ben Simmons and Zach Lee. And they got Olynyk, who we love. FanDuel All-Star, frankly.
That's right. Especially if you can get a few steals and blocks. Game over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Here's an interesting hypothetical one. How many Amirs would it take to beat one LeBron in a basketball game?
So I was looking at that same question as well. Over under three.
Those are great odds. I mean, I think with three, I would be able to score relatively easy because he wouldn't be able to guard both of me's. Like if I stood at half court and then another one in the corner and another one in one corner, he couldn't guard all three of them. Like he'd physically have to be on one side or another.
See, I think he could. I think he could guard three.
Because he would stand in one corner, and when the open Amir got it, he would just run towards that Amir. And then it would be like, oh shit, what am I supposed to do?
And this also calls into question your shooting abilities. Because it's like, if he doesn't pick you up
just because I'm open doesn't mean anything. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, and he's going to get the rebound, and he's going to push. So he's not picking you up like full court press. Although if he did pick you up a full court press, you're toast.
It's over. Yeah, it's over. I think I would just have to throw it as hard as I could over my head towards my basket and hope one of the other Amirs picks it up underneath the rim and can make a layup.
And doesn't panic. Don't skip over the crucial part of doesn't panic and then makes
layup. Yeah, because LeBron's sprinting towards me for a chase down block. I don't know if I can make a layup.
And you're never stopping him. I guess the better question is, how many Amirs would it take to stop LeBron on defense?
I mean, like, that's what I don't think I could do. Like, if there were five of me sort of crowding, like, couldn't he just sprint away from all five? Like,
sure.
It's not like the five of me are faster or stronger. It's still me.
Right.
Like,
right.
It would take hundreds of me to stop. Yeah, exactly. I'd have to literally line the entire court up with me's to, like, try to, like, form a wall to stop LeBron. Like, I can't run or stop him. I don't think defensively it would work, regardless of the number, unless
that's
I literally fill the court.
That's the thing. It's like the theoretical is always like, how many would it take for you to beat up this person? But this is also playing the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. And he's so good at the game of basketball. I think it's more than three, dude. If you're playing to, what's the game to? 21?
Sure. But even at 5-on-1, I think I could score occasionally and stop him never.
Mm-hmm. So odds are LeBron's beating you 5-on-1.
I would think so. I mean, think of just like five of our friends playing against LeBron 1-on-5.
Tough. Tough.
Could he dribble around five people? Probably, right?
Oh, hell yeah. He's stronger. Yeah. And shoot over anyone. He could just get to whatever spot on the court he wants and just shoot over you. He's got 10. Right. He has 10 inches and 100 pounds on the biggest guy we play with.
Which would be you.
Shit.
Yeah.
All right. But so I think what the answer... Yeah, go on.
What about five of us versus one Facundo Campazzo, who's like 5'10", 165? Then it becomes a little more manageable.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Campazzo also trucked Ben Simmons last night. Did you see that highlight?
I did. I wouldn't necessarily call it trucking, though he did sort of lower his shoulder into a screen that Ben Simmons set, and Ben Simmons took a seat after that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in Madden, there is just a button you hit where it's like truck mode, where your hands go in a certain thing and you just truck the dude. And that really just kind of had that truck vibe.
Yeah, he definitely sped up into a screen and knocked him on his ass. That was pretty great.
Yeah. Speaking of the Sixers, Amir.
Yeah.
JTC704 says and complains, why don't you give credit to the Sixers? Every episode, I'm waiting for some acknowledgement. Embiid is the MVP this year. Is Embiid still the MVP this year, Amir?
I mean, I thought he was until he got hurt, but now that he's lost some games, I don't think he's the quote-unquote MVP, though he was having the best season. And I still think the Sixers are the team that comes out of the East. Like, the Sixers are the team that scares me more than Milwaukee and more than Brooklyn.
Really? What, simply because of Embiid?
Because of Embiid and because they're like an actual cohesive team that can play defense and offense well. Like, the Nets are like an insane all-star team, but they can't really stop anybody, it seems. So I think, like I said before, when the game slows down and defense is more important, I don't think the Nets play defense well enough. They also have like weird injuries that are lingering. And if Embiid comes back healthy, I value them over a Durantless Nets team.
I'm telling you, man, Simmons is driving me mental. It's so tough to watch this dude. He played like there's college teams that do what he does, where he gets 5 feet to the basket and kicks 5 feet to the basket, and then like turns around and sends it to the second point guard on the roster. And you're like, why did you even dribble it into the paint? It is tough, man. I'm just losing my mind watching those games because I want the best for this team too. Yeah. Like all credit
to the Sixers.
If he had a floater,
it would be over. Like if something. He could stop, if he had Chris Paul's shooting ability, he'd be the best basketball player ever.
It's so wild to me that the narrative is he doesn't shoot threes when the narrative should be he doesn't shoot, period. It's just frustrating.
But he does drag the, like, he's so fast and tall and strong that, like, when he does drive, which is seemingly at will whenever he wants, people start to cheat off Danny Green, Seth Curry, Tyrone Maxey, Shake Milton. And that's why those guys are so open. And
that's a
very good offense, too, in addition to having Embiid.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be, in order for the Sixers to win, Embiid has to beat the big three. Like, it just has to be the dominance at the center position in that matchup outweighs the 5-on-5 that's happening on the court. And that's a tall order. I think that, like, I agree with you that the game slows down, more defense, all that half-court game. I don't know if the Nets are going to subscribe to that as much. And I also don't know if teams can make the Nets fall to such a drastic drop in offensive production that that will apply to them. I could just see them simply still scoring 118 most playoff games.
Yeah, I'm very, very fascinated to see the Nets play the Sixers or the Bucks or the Heat, like established teams with built-in history and chemistry in the playoffs. Because I want to believe like the basketball gods won't just reward this random mishmash of great offensive talents on a team. It's like, yeah, they won the championship now. It's like, is that how it should work? It doesn't seem like that's how it works. But I guess that is sometimes how it works.
Usually the narrative is that the first season where all the superstars get there, they don't win. They don't meet their expectations. And then the next season, they just wreck you. Like, now they
it are takes like a year to get that chemistry. And they haven't played like they've played the equivalent of like two games together.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're the favorites personally. I think that Durant could play today if he had to, but they're like, that's cool. We'd rather get Claxton the minutes. We'd rather cycle in Griffin a little bit. I wasn't as outraged, by the way, as everyone else was about Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, the superstar effect of it. Like, those dudes, LaMarcus Aldridge, we've already, like, shit on him enough on this podcast, but neither one of those dudes are, like, that much of a game changer, if you ask me.
No, LaMarcus especially. I mean, maybe it is that FanDuel night that we started him and he couldn't score or shoot or defend or move. But like, why their biggest issue is their defense. They're like, let's add another certified bucket who can hardly move on defense. Like, no, you don't need that. Don't worry about LaMarcus Aldridge. Get and
he's
fucking
also, he's taking
Dwight
12
Howard.
Minutes from Jeff Green or Nicholas Claxton. These dudes were like in the system, you know. It's just like I get the like osmosis of playing worse when you're just not motivated and then getting to a team where you like you can like have a very specific role and just thrive in that, but like I just like people were saying like they got LeBron, you know, like the outrage should have been when they got Harden, not when they got, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Right, who hasn't played all-star basketball in like what, 4 years, 5 years?
I mean,
he's 35.
I mean, the style of the whole league has like passed him. Like, I get that he's kind of an outside shooter, but he's not a 3-point shooter. He's an 18-foot turnaround shooter. It's like,
yeah.
So, I'm surprised to hear you say Sixers in the finals, TBD.
Yes, Sixers are the one team I think out east that scares me as a Laker fan. If we do make it in a healthy fashion, because there's just no answer for Embiid. He's bigger and taller and stronger. Like, the Nets have amazing firepower like in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, but like I can see a world where LeBron slows Kevin Durant. I can see a world where like KCP tries to like stay in front of Kyrie or James Harden like he did last year in the playoffs. I don't know what happens when Joel Embiid has the ball and I don't know, Trez is like underneath his shadow. Like, who's slowing him down? Andre Drummond, I guess, will try.
Think about just like getting out of the East for a second. It's like, of course, Brooklyn is there, but there's a better defensive team that we haven't talked about, and that's Milwaukee, who might be able to match up kind of well. You'd have to put Giannis on Embiid, but then, you know, the Drew Holiday versus Ben Simmons is just like two elite defenders going at it. And then it's like Middleton versus Tobias Harris. So
yeah,
it's not a cakewalk, that's for sure.
No, it's not. And whoever, I hope whoever comes out of it will be weary, tired, battle-tested, and half alive.
To meet the Los Angeles Clippers and Boogie Cousins in the finals.
Yeah, well, the Clippers and Bucks already played each other 2 days ago, and the Clippers fucking destroyed them.
Right. Speaking of good Western Conference teams, Lunsters asks, why don't you two ever talk about how sick the Jazz are this season?
Yeah, why don't we talk about how good the Jazz are?
Utah, I don't know. Like, just kind of... They kind of have that, like, vibe, like the Patriots vibe, where... And it's... They're not, like, they haven't done it for the past 10 years, but they're just kind of, like, killing you. You know, they just kill you. You know, you just lose by 16, and you're just, like, slowly choked out. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just not as thrilling to watch them just, like, slowly dismantle teams, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah, they're definitely the healthiest team. They didn't seem to have like an injury to any one of their major stars. But it's again the case of like, I don't trust them to do that against the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets. I put them in like that like 4, 5, 6 range where it's like, yeah, you're pretty solid for whatever reason, even though they're like 40-11. I'm like, you're as good as Dallas, who's 28-20.
So like, what is the distinction?
You got one good player and is Utah solid defensive? Role players.
Are they just like really defensive? Is that what it is? Like, what makes them actually way better than Denver and way better than Portland?
I think they have a really like a top five offense with Mitchell and all the shooters around him and Conley. Mm-hmm. And then they also have a top five defense with Gobert and I don't know who else, Royce O'Neal guarding people. They just do everything well and they haven't been hurt and they've been playing really, really well. And their record shows it. I mean, they're killing people.
Does Vegas reflect that as well? Are they like, I know that like on the ESPN power rankings, they're almost always, well, I know they're one currently, I believe. But does Vegas also have them as the odds on favorite to like, what are their odds?
I would guess they're like behind the Lakers and the Clippers and the Nets and maybe Philly or Milwaukee.
Damn. So that seems like a pretty obvious bet for people who are looking to just be like, well, what is like the odds say? Currently the odds say that the Jazz are the best team in the NBA.
So right now,
not
the Nets
betting
are,
odds. Not the betting
the
odds.
Betting odds are the Nets are favored at +240. $100 wins $240. Lakers are two at +300. Clippers are third at +550. And the Jazz are actually fourth, I should say. They're tied with Milwaukee at +800. So Vegas says the best team with the best record currently has an 8-1 odds of winning the championship, which is pretty funny.
So if you're looking to make some fun money, maybe you have like a $50 bill that you haven't known what to do with, put it on the Utah Jazz. And maybe, you know, at the end of the season, you win $400. Because right now they're the best team in the NBA. And 8-1 is pretty solid.
What about the Sixers? 11-1. That's pretty crazy, too. Or Nuggets 22-1. Those are good values, too.
Nuggets could be interesting at 22. That's a lot. Sixers, I'm just not as convinced as you are. Like, something... Without Embiid, they're scoring 92 points a game. It just feels, there's just like a, it feels like the center won't hold. It hasn't.
Yeah. Helped. He's got to be healthy. But I think Denver and Utah have the same, like in my mind, the same chances of winning the finals. So like if one is 8-1 and one is 22-1, you might as well bet on the 22-1.
Right. Yeah. You like the Gordon move when it's all said and done?
Yeah. I mean, he's replacing who? Paul Millsap? PJ Dozier? It's an upgrade.
Those dudes might still be there, as a matter of fact.
Yes, and they're playing well on their bench now. They're destroying teams too now.
And he's the one who would guard Kawhi and LeBron? Is that the expectation?
Aaron Gordon?
I mean, it's not going to be Michael Porter Jr., and you're going to need... It's not going to be Paul Millsap.
Yeah. I mean, Millsap was the one who was trying to guard LeBron last year in the playoffs. I forget who they tried to put on AD. Yeah.
Right.
Not a great matchup. Right. I'm not as scared as a Laker fan of Denver. I still think it's Lakers, Clippers 1 and 2.
Yeah. $2,200 for a $100 bill. Solid odds. Yeah. Just keep an eye out for those.
Yeah. Here's another interesting question. When will the Cavs be good again? Interesting. The Cavs. You recently texted me that the Cavs are, what did you say? So terrible at basketball, such a bad basketball team. Were you watching a Cavs game or something?
I think that I wrote just simply the Cavs are so bad. However, the word so had like nine O's in it.
Got it, yeah.
They had like 24 at the half. They had like 24 at the half, like 41 after three quarters. It was just like... like, I am a well of sympathy. I can feel bad for anyone or anything. But these Cavs, I was like, you're wasting our time. Like, this is rude that you're presenting this.
Yeah. Like,
they went from having too many centers. They had no centers. Larry Nance was supposed to be their center, and then he dropped out last minute.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, tough to watch. Like, Hartenstein. They were playing against Utah. It was just tough.
That's what it was. Yeah. It was it was like 70-30 at half against the Jazz. It was not a fair fight.
Right. So when are they going to be good? When are they going to be good, Amir?
Well, they got a bunch of... They released one of the best centers in the NBA. I don't know if you know this, but they bought out Andre Drummond, who was 27 years old and potentially the best rebounder in the world right now, because they wanted to... He didn't jive with their timeline. He wasn't 21 or 22 years old. So, okay. So you got Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Jared Allen. Solid three. Not sure if that team is winning 30 games a year, but an entertaining product nonetheless. Okoro, Young, their next draft pick will be 19. So you got, you know, five... 19 to 21 year olds. When does that team become good again? I don't know. Kevin Love is still there. Do they get anything for him?
Yikes. Chetty Osman. At least a quick shout out to Chetty Osman while we're here.
Oh, yeah. Chetty.
It's tough. I mean, the way that Cleveland is going to get better is through the draft. And that's kind of like I don't see them just like landing a superstar in the next 2 years. And the question then becomes, what is the ceiling for Sexton, Garland, and Allen? And it's like, could those three get you a four seed in the East in the next 3 years? No, I don't think so. So I don't know. I guess the question is, how do you either identify that next piece, or I don't know how you get out of that mid-30s max win range?
Maybe there's another amazing player being born right now in Akron, and he'll sort of find the destiny to play for the Cavaliers one day, which takes, 18 years, 19 years or something?
Okay. So on the premise that a young baby somewhere is touched with greatness in Akron, Ohio right now, our answer is in 18 years, the Cleveland Cavaliers will probably be relevant again.
Wow, that's beautiful. And it rhymes.
Okay, great. Let's rock with it.
Can you palm a basketball?
Me, Billy?
That's right. That was one of the questions. Can you or Billy palm a basketball? Ask Cassiusaur.
I'd say that I could palm 40% of most basketballs.
Yeah, it's all about the basketball itself. It has to be a soft basketball. It has to be a nice and sticky basketball. There's some slick
indoor
basketballs. Yeah, indoor. It's got to be an indoor, nice. It's got that squish. Because if you get, my thumb and my pinky are almost a straight line. That's the crucial part of it. I have good digital dexterity. My fingers aren't long enough, obviously.
And that's the problem. So,
I got to be able to wrap my hand, my mitt around a slightly deflated.
That's right.
I would give my 10% of basketballs. You're at 40% then.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to hit you with the Jordan pump fake, that one hand pump fake that is just so belittling.
No, God, no. Yeah.
It's just, you can't just.
Yeah.
I can't do that, but I can like during layup lines, like get the rebound and kind of just like palm it for one. To pass it.
Oh, that's cool. So just like sort of hold it down by your side until it slips out of your hands.
Yeah, until it slips out. Really cool. It's the equivalent of the dude that everybody went to college with. Maybe you are that dude. Maybe I am that dude who said they could dunk a volleyball in college. Let me like give you a little peek behind the curtain. That person never dunked a volleyball in college.
So he's just saying he theoretically could dunk a volleyball in a 9-foot hoop in college.
That is the my girlfriend is in Canada and she is a supermodel lie. It's like hard to disprove. That dude never dunked that volleyball in college.
Oh, actually, we got a specific question. David PN asked, can Billy dunk?
Billy cannot dunk. Billy cannot
Jesus.
Dunk.
You got close. I will say you got close.
I've been close. I've been close, but you can hear the sadness in my voice. Billy cannot dunk, sadly.
Yeah. But you can touch rim. You can touch the rim.
Yeah, I can hang on rim. That's one thing I got going for me. You can that's like I can hang and then do a pull up on it. So there's something macho there, but just
you're
not the thing
close.
You really want. Yeah.
Yeah.
You, have you ever you Ben and I used to go to 24 hour fitness and take some of like the squat racks or like things and we would jump off those. Or mostly I think I would jump off those.
Yeah.
And those you guys would throw me alley oops. So that's
yeah,
something.
Yeah. That's fun. Did you ever look into like those shoes or those exercises? Yes. And
the back of East Bay, they have like those like the moon shoes
moon
or whatever
shoes.
They were.
Yeah, that make you walk on your calves for a year. Hopefully,
yeah,
that
and
you
tear
can
your Achilles
your
in a day. Those right. things are Achilles killers, dude. There's a reason that nature didn't have us grow feet under our feet.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, but yeah,
moon shoes.
What was your height of being able to like jump? Are you currently at your peak or like, oh, when you were 22, you used to get up a little easier?
Yeah, in college, I could dunk volleyballs in college. That was my height.
Good man.
Yeah.
Any other good ones that you saw?
Yeah. From Eddie Haley, he asks, is KD actually not that bad of a guy?
Yeah, let's talk about that. The Kevin Durant, Michael Rapoport beef. What were your initial reactions there?
So can you fill me in on the details? I know when Michael Rapoport's involved, he is wrong. So what happened here?
I forget the origin of it, but KD was DMing Michael Rapoport some pretty nasty things. They were basically going back and forth. You know, mm-hmm. Rapoport calling KD a snake. But then... KD was like DMing him like your wife mad as fuck because you wasting that little bit of money on lawyers. You can't take a joke. How pussy are you? Your wife doesn't even respect your bitch ass.
Damn.
Like, really, really like immature sophomoric stuff that you wouldn't necessarily expect from, let's say, Kevin Durant.
Sure, a titan of media and sport.
Yeah, like he basically owned up to DMing Michael Rapoport. All you do is cocksuck other men for attention. Trump Whoa. Didn't pay attention to your sorry ass. Now you want to use everybody else to get views and laughs. Your life is a joke, you fucking pale cocksucker. You
Damn. Know,
words you haven't really heard since 2003.
Yeah, these are like the list of things that went out the door when people like woke up a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of C words, a lot of pasty cum-guzzling bitch words, you know, stuff like that.
That's why you texted that phrase to me.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I called
I had
somebody
no
in
context.
Our text chat that.
I had no context, and all I could give you was one of those like little like question marks after. I was like, I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, KD said that to Michael Rapoport. Will he be punished for that? Is that bad
hell no.
for the NBA?
Hell no. First of all, Michael Rapoport, one New Yorker to another, you've been asking for this your whole life. All you do is walk around your sidewalk in Queens, talking to your phone, calling dudes who are 3,000 miles away, motherfuckers and cocksuckers. So first of all, Michael Rapoport, take it like a man and take it on the chin, because all you do is throw this shit out. Secondly, okay. You aired out these DMs. This is for clout. Dog, this is for you to be like, yo, check this out. I'm about to bank off of Kevin Durant's clout right now. You're clout chasing. Kevin Durant did not release these. You did. So once again, Michael Rapoport, you're always a little bit in the wrong. I could just put that aside for a second, I think that Kevin Durant lives his life the way most of us would like to live our life. He speaks freely. He doesn't really seem to care what other people say. He wins. I don't know. I'm not a hater when it comes to Kevin Durant personally, though all of those phrases are toxic and bad.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know Michael Rapoport was looked down upon so much, because when I read those, I was like, Jesus, Kevin Durant is just like, what is he doing? Like yelling at this guy, whoever it is, like some sort of teenager. It seems like the NBA would step in and be like, you're fined for using these terrible homophobic phrases.
That.
Yeah. but for whatever reason, Kevin Durant gets away with this kind of stuff because it's like, you know, he has the proclivity to being mean or thin-skinned or sensitive on social media. Mm-hmm. I'll declare this as a double loss. Both sides lost.
Yeah, I guess so. Michael Rapaport is a provocateur, though. I mean, like, he is trying to get a rise out of people. And if the dude's going to spend all of his time... And look, like, New Yorkers should claim him. We're off Michael Rapaport these days. Like, he just talks too much and he provokes too much. So if it was, like, a journalist and Kevin Durant just lashed out and said things like this, it'd be, like, one thing. But this dude invites this kind of shit, you know? Yeah. So I get it.
All right. Last few lightning round Q's and A's.
Let's do it.
Which player is going to be the biggest star after LeBron retires?
Good question.
Yeah, people is it Zion? Sort of. Zion's playing great. Giannis is great. The league is in good hands. There's Luka too, Embiid.
But so much of being a star isn't just how awesome you are. Because the question isn't who's the best basketball player once LeBron retires. Star power is different. You speak right to the public. You're the face of the league. Like, I don't know if Zion has the personality to be gregarious enough.
Yeah, naturally. That's true. Yeah, you got to like open up a public school and also campaign for a presidential candidate.
And do like a Funny or Die video. I mean, like right. There's all sorts of shit you got to do.
Yeah, and I would say it's Steph maybe, but like Steph and LeBron will probably retire and together in 8 years because LeBron's not going anywhere, it seems.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of like 22 to 25-year-olds.
Sheesh. I'll tell you, if Anthony Edwards can make that leap, he's got the personality.
He's got the personality. He's great.
Yeah. I don't know if he has like the political aspirations that LeBron has kind of like set forth as like the star of the league. Just suddenly it's like you have to be perfect at everything, like right. Just razor sharp at everything. But Anthony Edwards, he's not the right answer, but he's got the personality to do it.
Yeah. It's probably Paul George, right?
Oh, no way.
I mean, that guy is just oozing with personality. Everyone wants charm to hear what Paul George has to say next.
Everyone's actively rooting for him in the playoffs.
We all love Paul George. Damn. Perfectly named NBA star Paul George.
Okay, so the answer to that question is Paul George will take the torch from LeBron James when this is all said and done.
We got to go back. Round. Who's the best player at every age? We got to do that episode again if we haven't yet.
Ooh, that's fun. Yeah, we'll do that soon. I got a question.
Yeah.
Ron Jobbert asks, would you rather have 5 first round picks or the first overall pick?
I mean, 5 first round picks can be anything. Is it 5 number twos or 5 number 30s?
My instinct is that it would be like 5 of the 30.
Yeah. So like 5,
the
4, 10, 15,
the
9,
20, the 17, right. 22, 28, and 30.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the cop out answer is it depends on the draft. If it was Zion's year, I'd rather have the number one pick. If it was this year, probably 5 of the top 30.
Right. And also, like, who are we in this scenario? Like, are we so bad that we need like talent everywhere, or are we the Spurs that get Tim Duncan that one year and it's like exactly what we wanted? You know?
We sort of brushed on it very lightly, but what Zion is doing is absurd. I don't know if you've seen this streak of like 20 point games with scoring at least 50% from the field. Like, he's done it like 30 games in a row at this point.
And like 4 assists, and the sneaky thing that he's so good at, 0 turnovers most games. That's crazy.
Who's stealing the ball from him? He like holds it like a massive beast holding a little grape. Like, you can't jar the ball loose from him.
Nobody is stealing the ball from Zion Williamson, but he's sometimes too strong. Like, have you ever seen like big puppies that just knock shit over all the time? Like charges are turnovers. And he's also being asked to play the Julius Randle point forward. So like, of course he's going to have some bad passes. He just doesn't seem to. It's a trip.
I've seen like the funniest thing to watch is when Zion is coming down with the ball and like watching like a thin stretch four, like Maxi Kleber, like D him up, like, oh no, this is not going to end well. And then Zion like puts his shoulder down and Maxi Kleber is like, ah, and then like Zion jumps at the free throw line. Kleber does too, but lands before the top of Zion like's apex, who lays it up and in easily. It's like, holy shit.
Like, what does Zion look like in 4 years physically? Like, are we seeing him at perfect physical capabilities? Like,
yeah, I would assume this
bigger. He shouldn't get thinner. He won't get taller. Like, is this it? Are we looking at this?
I think the Pelicans hope he just stays like this physical freak. Like, he'll only become slowly Blake Griffin over the next 15 years. So like, right. You want to preserve this magic moment as much as possible.
Yeah, that's a good call. Blake Griffin's a pretty good comp, actually, for him. He's a much better Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Hopefully he learns how to shoot like Blake.
Yeah. You got any more questions? I think I got one more, maybe.
Okay, ask yours, and I'll look for one more as well.
Do you have, this comes from Jake M. Larson, do you have any historical favorite plays that you'd want as an NFT?
Ooh, historical top shot. I remember like silly plays more than like amazing plays. So like,
same.
Like the, what was that play where a team was playing the Raptors and they tried to throw the ball up to kill time and Mo Pete just grabbed the ball in the air and then made a three before the ball landed. So like a player, the team was up two and he like basically took the ball and chucked it in the air with 5 seconds left, hoping that time would expire, but it landed into a Raptors player and he just made a three at the buzzer. That was pretty great.
That's really actually in the family of the play I was thinking of, which is Jarrett Jack would occasionally, right before the buzzer, take full court shots, but just chuck the ball like 60 feet into the stands instead. Like way over the backboard. He was trolling. Without a doubt, he was trolling.
After the buzzer, or like he would take the missed shot?
So it was essentially, you get the defensive rebound, you're 70 feet away from the basket, there's 0.3 on the clock, and you like throw it as if it's an inbounds pass, a baseball football pass, but he would never aim for the basket. He would aim for like literally 50 feet beyond the hoop. If you've never seen this, Amir, you're going to watch this play on loop. He did it for multiple teams. This is Jarrett Jack, like kicking a field goal without a net behind the goalposts. This ball would just go flying. I'd like that NFT.
That's solid. Here's a random question. I didn't even know this, but he said, I've asked you 7 times and no response. What are your thoughts on Giannis? It seems like you dislike him. Do I seem like I dislike Giannis? I didn't realize that.
I mean, yeah, it seems like you dislike Giannis. You seem pretty anti-Giannis.
why am I anti-Giannis? I don't have any beef with Giannis. I think he's very good. He's very unique. Like, there's no player like him. I can't quite tell why he's so indefensibly good. Like, he also can't quite shoot very well like Ben Simmons, no. But for whatever reason, it doesn't matter
because
he's so long and strong. He can dunk at will. He's sort of like a Zion in that regard, like a freak where it's like there's no comp of this player in the NBA. Can he be the best player on a championship team? I guess I'm a little skeptical.
There is this like newfound appreciation over the past 5-7 years in the NBA for you have to be able to shoot, and like not just shoot, but like shoot like Dame, shoot like Steph. Like there's this new normal. And now if you don't possess that skill, you almost like somehow you can put up lines like 30, 20 and 9 and still somehow be like, but he didn't have any like cool shots. There's still that like lingering doubt out there.
Yeah.
And Giannis, if he ever gets to become like a, you know, like from real shooting range, like 40%, 50%, that would be scary, scary.
It seems like he tried to become a three-point shooter a little bit because that's sort of what you think you need. It's like, oh, if I can make threes, then they have to defend me and then I can drive to the basket even easier. And then at a certain point, it's just like, they're not going to defend me. Even if I'm shooting like 35%, like they're not. They're going to say that's better than me driving. So it seems like he's given up on making threes, which is better for him and better for his team. Yeah, don't want to.
It seems like
there's
always
too many times where he takes like an 18-footer and it like airballs it short. You're like, he's still learning how to shoot a basketball, it seems.
It seems like that's always coaching of saying something to the effect of, we got to keep him honest. I want you to take 3 3-pointers every game, even if it doesn't feel natural to you.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Because he knows he could Euro step around everyone. I'll speak for myself. The reason why I don't speak about Giannis very much on this podcast is because like 30 episodes ago, I called him Giannis with a hard G.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because I'm raised on chicken parmesan and Gianna, G-I's are like that.
Yeah.
And Twitter was so volatile to me about why would you say ja. Then now I'm just like, no more Giannis. We just won't say the word Giannis anymore. We're just going to avoid it and pretend like it doesn't exist.
Now you say Antetokounmpo, but and people don't know which one you're talking about. Is it Thanasis?
Right.
Is it Kostas? So you sort of avoid the entire thing.
It's almost always Kostas.
I want Giannis also to embrace the inner troll, like to learn a little bit from Embiid. Like, remember when he hit that game winner against Philly and took a fucking seat on the logo? I'm like, that's the kind of Giannis. That's the kind of shit I like. Or when beats LeBron and he puts the crown on his head. That's kind of fun.
They are the devil and angel of the NBA. Like, look, like Giannis is like, I just had fruit punch for the first time. America is the best. Yeah. And Embiid is like asking out Rihanna and telling everyone about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
They're perfect. They're perfect.
They're great. Maybe they can pass the torch. LeBron can pass the torch to them together. It'll take a group effort.
Yeah. We're going to learn global about basketball. Like what the NBA fans want when LeBron retires. Do we want the devil or do we want the angel?
TBD. Let's find out. I'm excited to find out. Or do we? I just want Andre Drummond, really. He's the face of my future NBA. He's the Shaq, the new Kobe, the new Anthony Davis. He's the 27-year-old all-star.
Get it out.
Who's come, the it savior, out. Really. And you'll see it. You'll see it going forward. He's going to be a 30-20-10 guy in the playoffs. And we're not even going to realize that Anthony Davis didn't come back. It's going to be like such a smooth crossfade from one AD to another. That Yikes. It won't even feel like we're missing anybody. So I'm excited for that as well.
So a few thoughts. We made it through 48 minutes, listeners, without Amir talking about this at length. So congratulations to us for making it that long. Amir said that he's going to average 30, 20, and 10. He won't.
Yeah, blocks.
So
blocks.
He won't. Amir's drunk. And Amir also kind of just like dropped in that we won't even have noticed that the other AD never came back. TBD. Yeah, I don't know if Amir knows something we don't, but
and we
Anthony
got
Davis
for
out for
too,
the season.
So that's been exciting. Just a nice $700,000. He makes as much as like a lawyer will this year, which is kind of cool to think. So like Andre Drummond will make $900,000 from the Lakers and $38 million from the Cavs. And then next year he'll make $22 million from the Bobcats and also $36 million from the Cavs. So good on him.
Yeah, good on him. And congratulations, Amir, for getting your guy.
It thank feels you, like a, thank you. Thank you.
A sentence I've
it.
Said many times these past few years. Congrats on getting your guy.
We deserved him. We got him and he's ours now. And that's a nice way to sort of gently land this episode of Buckets. Anything you want to promote?
The Knicks have dropped Terrence Ferguson.
Really?
I'm heartbroken over here.
That hurts to hear. That hurt. Yeah. That you weren't expecting that. You were sort of ready for the Terrence Ferguson era.
Correct. And the Knicks were not.
No. Yeah. Nope. They said thanks, but no thanks. I guess they got a logjam at guard right now. So no real need for him yet.
We got 2 second round picks, but I will promote the No Joke podcast. Me and Adam Lustig, also on the HeadGum Network. Last two episodes, we did bracket episodes where we started with Elite Eight. And of juice and of breakfasts, and we narrowed them down to determine the winner. So check out the bracket episodes on No Joke.
You're building like the perfect meal, it seems like.
Yeah, that's kind of the overall goal of the No Joke podcast. Identify the perfect meal.
A chicken parmigianis is the crossover. So it's
there you go.
A sandwich well and done. Also an amazing, amazing basketball player. Okay,
the two podcasts
and
I host.
Thanks for your questions. Appreciate you listening. We'll be back, I'm sure, soon enough. Go Lakers and all that. And see you next week.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.